DW Africa Link. South Africa holds the top spot in Africa. Unfortunately, that's for air pollution. The recent report from Greenpeace Africa and the Center for Research on Energy and Clean Air, CREA, paints a gloomy picture of the situation. It's not just a statistic. It's a severe human health crisis that demands immediate action. So, what has led South Africa to this alarming position? And what are the real-life impacts? That's what's coming up. I am Eddie Micah Jr., and you are welcome to Africa Link, the podcast connecting you to the stories that matter.
Africa Link, every weekday, here on DW.
South Africa's top spot on the continent's air pollution ranking is primarily driven by its coal-dependent energy sector. That's according to the report by Greenpeace and CREA. In 2023 alone, more than 40,000 South Africans died due to exposure to fine particulate matter, PM2.5. That's a toxic pollutant mainly produced by burning coal and fossil fuels. The death toll includes over 1,300 children under 5 years old. That's alarming. Let's get more from Cynthia Moyo, Climate and Energy Campaign Lead, one of the authors of the report. I also have my colleague Tuzo Kumalo, DW correspondent in Johannesburg, South Africa. Hello and welcome to Africa Link. Cynthia, you were one of the authors of the report. Tell us more. How bad is the situation in South Africa when it comes to air pollution?
Thank you for having me, Eddie. The air pollution in South Africa is quite bad. As it says in our report or our findings, you know, in the report that we recently released, we found that over 42,000 lives, you know, were lost every year due to air pollution. And this is not just a statistic, you know, it's a national health emergency. And we also found that, you know, air pollution in South Africa is costing us 960 billion a year, yet we can prevent this. So, I mean, people that are living near the coal plants and also in the industrial zones are paying the price, you know, with their health. So we need that immediate action. We need, you know, to stop all these exemptions that are there for polluters and also enforce, you know, the stronger air quality laws. So the air pollution is quite bad in South Africa.
I mean, it sounds really bad. We're talking about more than 40,000 people losing their lives as a result of air pollution in South Africa. That's just staggering. What exactly do we mean by air pollution? Just to try to break things down, because, you know, people are walking around breathing the air, and then we are talking about air pollution that is killing people. What do we mean exactly?
So air pollution is a very silent killer, you know, in South Africa, not only in South Africa, but in Africa as a whole. You know, it's a crisis that has really claimed countless lives, you know, yet it remains alarmingly under-discussed. So the recent Greenpeace and CREA report tabled in Johannesburg paints a very devastating picture. You know, South Africa is home to some of the world's deadliest air pollution hotspots that are driven by the heavy industrial activity, the coal-fired power plants, and also we have, you know, a huge number of unchecked emissions. But South Africa is not alone in this struggle. I mean, across the continent, millions are facing the harrowing consequences of breathing poisoned air. But what is the extent of this problem that we are talking about, the problem of air pollution? Since we're saying that it has become the silent epidemic, I mean, Africa is really bearing the brunt of its impact. If we are to look according to the WHO, over 1.1 million premature deaths in Africa each year are attributable to air pollutions. And we have projections that also indicate that, you know, this could rise to 1.6 million by 2063 if there is no action that is taken. Cities like Johannesburg, like Accra, like Lagos, like Nairobi are grappling with this rising pollution levels that disproportionately affect children, the elderly, and also, I mean, the marginalized communities.
Right. So what exactly is causing the pollution? I mean, there are some that say that any African country, or any country for that matter, that is developing, industrialized, you know, will go through some sort of pollution, air pollution. Is that accurate? Should that be the case? Or is that what is contributing to the air pollution, or what is it?
I would have to agree with you, but I would say also at what cost, you know. I think if we were to look at the common culprits of air pollution, at number one would have to be the fossil fuel measures. I mean, we have the coal-fired power plants, such as those that we have in, in Mpumalanga province of South Africa. You know, these are among the leading polluters. Mpumalanga is infamous for having this highest concentration of SO2, that's your sulfur dioxide emissions globally. And that is directly linked to the Eskom's aging coal plants. So South Africa leads and is number one with its coal dependency, leading in 9 of Africa's 10 largest nitrogen dioxide sources. And similarly, you know, countries like Nigeria, they also emit massive amounts of sulfur dioxide from their oil and also the gas infrastructure. But, you know, we also have to understand that there is urbanization, like you said, you know, development, there's urbanization, there's also transportation that is also emitting as well. And then we have these informal sector practices. I mean, we have a reliance on solid fuels for cooking and also for heating, especially in our rural areas. And this really exposes millions of people to indoor air pollution. However, I always want to mention this, that even if we say that communities play a role, you know, when it comes to air pollution, but they are often polluting, I mean, out of necessity and not negligence, you know. So it's really... somehow it's very unfair for us to blame the communities or label them as culprits as well, you know, for lighting fires to cook when they've been denied that access to clean and affordable energy. So number one culprit would be, Eddie, you know, our the fossil fuel majors.
Right. Thanks for that breakdown. Tuzo Kumalo, let me come to you because you've been speaking to people on the ground. Tell us more about, in the case of South Africa, at least, the communities that are most affected and the people, indeed, that are most affected by this air pollution.
There is so much devastation with the communities that are affected, especially in the Vaal area where you find your Sasol, the gas producing company here. And you go to Mpumalanga where most of these coal power stations are involved. People are saying practically they are breathing in poison. I had a chance to see or watch or hear some of the testimonies of these people, the campaigners or those that are in those areas active and talking against this. They are saying people are coughing, people are having very strange diseases that they wouldn't ordinarily have. The painful thing about it is they are saying these companies are very much aware of this. They are very much aware of that they are not meeting the standards, whether the UN standards, even the country, the local country standards in terms of what they are allowed to emit into the air and what they are not allowed to emit. So these communities, we're talking about children, we're talking about the elderly, we're talking about, I mean, just across people that are living in these communities, they are saying you can even hear the stench, you can even hear the air, yeah, I mean, feel the stench and feel that the air that you are taking in is dead. But one testimony from a community member in the Vaal says these companies are so cunning to an extent that there was a TB center in that area. They had to push it away out of the zone so that no one can link it to their activity. So there are companies that are aware, making millions, but at the same time not caring about the communities that they're there. I mean, you know that there is a lot that they can do to help these communities, but they're doing none of it, let alone trying to protect these communities from their economic activities.
Right. So just to be clear, when you talk about the companies that are doing this, are we talking about the coal, oil and gas mining companies, or which companies to be specific are the people talking about?
In South Africa, you have got the power. Our power utility is called Eskom. And Eskom has plants has plants where it produces electricity. The highest number or amount of electricity that is produced is from coal. Despite the energy era, the new energy, clean energy era, they still produce these from coal. So these are plants operated by our power utility company, which is Eskom. But in terms of the gas, you have got also Sasol that produces gas for most of our gas needs here in the country. It is largely in the Vaal area. This is where the communities are most affected. Mpumalanga, that's where you find most of these power plants. That's where the communities are also complaining.
Right. And they are complaining. Who are they complaining to? Do they feel like they are being listened to? Or is anything being done about this in any way as they keep complaining to authorities?
They explicitly say they've been talking to the government representatives, to the councillors in the area, and their cries are falling on deaf ears. Then you'd wonder exactly what is happening. Remember, the government has set standards in terms of what these companies can do, what they cannot do, how much they should emit in terms of these carbon monoxides, and what they are not allowed. So there are those quotas that are set there. No one is adhering to those. And when the communities talk, they talk to these companies directly, but they are saying the things that are happening, the diseases that are affecting the communities, and this pollution is not stopping. They have also knocked at the doors of the government. Then you wonder, is the government pushing economic development, not caring about people's life, even if it means killing people's lives? So these are the questions that the communities are saying. They're saying, we have knocked almost all doors to try and alert the government that we are dying, we are being choked by these fumes that are coming out of these companies, but help seem not to be coming, even when they speak to government representatives.
Right. And Cynthia, that's definitely not a good look. If authorities are being alerted, they know what is going on, but nothing is being done. I mean, who takes the blame for this? The companies?
You know, Eddie, during our press conference, one parent from Ematlahleni told us that they've complained to the municipality about the smell and the smoke, and they were just told to be grateful that they have electricity. So that's the level of disregard that they are dealing with in those communities, you know. And I think the biggest obstacle that we have is this institutional denial, and there's this political protection that is there, and also the regulatory weaknesses that we've been we've been talking about. We've seen that the polluting companies, you know, continue to get away with all this because profit is still being prioritized, you know, over people, despite the staggering human cost that is there. 42,000 premature deaths in 2023 alone. Companies in the coal sector, especially you know, in South Africa, the Eskom and the Sasol, are routinely granted these exemptions from minimum emission standards.
So who's benefiting from all of this then?
Eskom is a state-owned electricity supplier, and it has repeatedly breached the emission limits and also delayed this, you know, installation of emission controls. So these actions have been facilitated by exemptions and delays that are granted under the what you call the National Ambient Air Quality Standard. So such leniency really undermines the efforts that we put to protect public health and also the environment.
Right. So in a sense, what you're saying is, at the expense of ordinary citizens' lives, who, as you say, are dying in their tens of thousands due to air pollution, it's only to benefit the companies and some authorities, you know, lining their pockets at the expense of people's lives. Is that what it is?
Yes, definitely. I mean, the system is set up to shield these polluters instead of protecting people. So until that changes, you know, through legal action, through public pressure, and also through political courage, we'll keep seeing that there is profits that are being prioritized over lives.
And Tuzo, I mean, this is for me such a big deal. Obviously, President Cyril Ramaphosa and his ministers, his government, they must know about this. Is there anything clear that they want to do to help tackle air pollution in the country, something that is killing tens of thousands of people every year? Surely they must want to do something about it, right, Tuzo?
Indeed, in terms of talking, there is talk about it. In terms of these renewables, the Minister of Electricity is always talking about it. But if you look at the pace at which they are licensing these guys, I mean, you have got people who are ready to do these things, to set up solar plants so that they could supply even the surroundings where they stay. But I mean, the government wants to license that, and this licensing time, that takes time. So I think from the government side, it's clear, yes, they know it, they know what to do, but the way that they are doing it, they seem to see no emergency because they are not the ones that are directly affected. It is the communities that are bearing the brunt of this slowness of government moving to that. Like our guest said, I mean, there's plenty of sun here in Africa, just across the continent or in South Africa. So what the government just do is to speed up this process, provide solar panels to people so that there's a reduced reliance on this electricity that is poisonous. But the problem in South Africa is that the use of coal to produce electricity has been politicized, because when you talk about it, unions, they stand up and say, no, if you do that, you are going to cut jobs, so you cannot do it. So at times the government also restrains itself from moving as fast as possible, because there are unions that are saying you can't move that fast because there are jobs that are going to be lost. But at the same time, the good plan should be to try and reskill those people, redirect their skills to using the new energy, so that you minimize the loss of jobs. But as it stands now, it seems it's between the unions and the government. That's where things are being slowed down. But the government definitely knows that these coal plants are causing a harm to the environment and to the people, only moving very slowly in time to address that.
Right. I mean, for me, honestly, not to sound too personal, but this just makes me sad. It's one of the many things that happen across the continent where authority or the leaders know what's going on. They know how to deal with it. But because of politics and some individuals lining their pockets or benefiting somehow from all these deals, that nothing much is done about it. And that seems to be exactly the situation both of you are, you know, drawing attention to now. Cynthia, we will definitely be hammering on solutions soon to wrap up this podcast, but we're focusing on air pollution. There's also other types of pollution. We can talk about water pollution, land pollution, heck, even sound pollution. How big a problem are the other types of pollutions in South Africa and generally across the continent?
You know, we do have other types of pollution, especially plastic pollution, that are, you know, are really harming Africa. Just a few days ago on World Environmental Day, we were holding Coca-Cola accountable, you know, for producing a huge number of plastics. And these are plastics that end up in our oceans, you know. And just to refer back to the question that you had asked earlier, it reminds me of what we always say, that, you know, crime is a social construct, you know. And what we mean by that is that you, Eddie, as an individual, you can get jailed, you know, for littering, but an entire corporation can poison, you know, an entire community's land, an entire community's water, and no one is going to be held accountable for that. So it's exactly what we are seeing, you know, in our communities. It's exactly what we are seeing in Africa. An entire corporation is poisoning, you know, our oceans with plastic, but no one is being held accountable. So yes, we do have other types of pollution, such as plastic pollution.
Right. But currently, as you say, the number one killer seems to be air pollution, right?
Yes, the number one killer is air pollution because it is invisible. Unlike, plastic pollution, we can see that this is plastic in the oceans. We can see how it is harming our marine life, etc. But when it comes to air pollution, it's very invisible.
Right. That's a good way to put it. It's because you don't see it. It easily grips. With plastic and land pollution, you can go for cleaning exercises and stuff. That's a good way to put it. Tuzo, we are journalists, we're in the media, we need to cover this more and more to put more pressure on the governments across the continent. Is that being done, you think, or more needs to be done?
More needs to be done. If you look at the way journalists are covering other stories, when it's political stories, when it's stories that affect big people, people with big names, celebrities and government officials, you find media interest is very huge there. But if you look even at the issuing or the unveiling of this report, I could physically count a few journalists that attended there. So they seem to be lack of appetite when it comes to environmental issues, especially those that affect ordinary people, poor people on the ground, and a more concentration on stories that affect people with big names and politics. So I think we can still do more as the media. We can still shine a light on these issues, especially going down to these areas, talking to the people that are affected, airing their views. These government officials, they watch news. They've got a chance to see what's happening, to hear these people. And maybe by doing so, as the media ourselves, we can change the status quo. We can make the government have a new perspective in terms of how to deal with these things, and urgently so.
Right. That's a good point you made. Sometimes journalists take a share of the course of all of this. I mean, journalists are to be blamed sometimes, because the more we talk about this, the more attention is brought on it and the more pressure it may heap on the government. So journalists definitely have a key role to play in all of this. Cynthia, you are going to have the last words. Starting with my first question, how can we keep heaping pressure on the government, aside of course the role of the media or journalists, as Tuzo said? What really needs to be done now? Because this is really urgent. People are dying every year, tens of thousands of people. What do we do now?
It is very critical that we reverse this trajectory and save thousands of lives. So what we really need to do immediately is to end the emissions exemptions that are happening. For example, in South Africa, we need to stop granting Eskom and other polluters exemptions from minimum emission standards. These exemptions are directly contributing to avoiding avoidable illnesses and death. And then we also need to adopt the WHO air quality standards. And then we also need to fast track the renewable energy projects, and also, you know, hold these polluters accountable. This is something that cannot wait. We need to enforce existing laws and also prosecute, these repeat offenders. The tools exist, Eddie. The data is clear, and the cost of delay is just far too high. So we really need to do something now.
Right. Totally, totally understood. Before I let you go, is there a good case example in an African country about how they are really trying to tackle air pollution that maybe South Africa and other countries can learn from?
Yes, we do have Sola Mamas of Malawi. That is in rural Malawi. We have women that have been trained as solar engineers and are transforming their communities. That's providing clean energy to replace the polluting stoves. I think as we started the podcast, I did mention that, you know, we have communities that are also using are contributing to the air pollution in their use of cooking stoves. So these Solar Mamas of Malawi, that is in rural Malawi, they have really used clean energy to replace the polluting stoves. So I think that's something that has really worked for them so well. And then we also have a people's movement in Tunisia. That's a grassroots movement that has fought to shut down a toxic waste dump. That's proving that collective action can really bring about environmental justice. So yes, we do have examples in Africa that we can that we can look up to, because air pollution is not an abstract issue, Eddie. It is a daily reality that is impacting millions of lives across Africa.
Thank you very much for sharing these deep insights with us. Cynthia Moyo, Climate and Energy Campaign Lead and one of the authors of the report. Also, DW correspondent in Johannesburg, South Africa, Tuzo Kumalo. Thank you very much for your submission. On the other hand, countries like Kenya, Ghana, Botswana, and Namibia are setting a positive example. There are investments in cleaner energy, stronger environmental laws, and more consistent enforcement are paying off. Despite facing their own challenges, these nations are effectively managing air pollution thanks to better governance, public engagement, and proactive policies. This contrast with South Africa is not just a comparison, but a source of inspiration for the potential to overcome continent-wide hurdles. So what do you think? We'd like to hear from you on this, especially if you have personal experiences with air pollution in South Africa. Please share your thoughts with us on our Facebook page, DW Africa. Listen to us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast from. Don't forget to click follow and subscribe to our DW Africa YouTube channel so you never miss an episode. This show was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabe. And I am Eddie Micah Jr. Thanks for listening.
DW. Made for minds.